Welcome back to Bullseye on the afternoon on AM 930 WEOL. Andy Bulbarch, Matt Douglas taking you up until 6 o'clock tonight. And sure, it may only be June 13th, but football season isn't that far away. Of course, yesterday we released our high school football broadcast schedule. We are knocking on the door of another football season. And now we're going to talk some college football. For those of you who follow the college football scene very closely, you have probably purchased one or many of this man's magazines, and the newest one, the 2018 version, on newsstands now. Phil Steele joins us on the show. Phil, thank you so much for joining us. How are you?
Hey, I am doing great, Andy. How about yourself this afternoon?
Lovely. Couldn't be better. As I mentioned earlier, we're getting closer to the start of the football season. And, you know, before we get into some of the nuts and bolts of the season, names and teams that we should be watching out for, boy, Phil, this has got to be a really cool time of the year for you. Just following you on Twitter and reading through your timeline, it's a lot of fun for me to look through and see how people celebrate the arrival of your magazine. That's got to be a cool thing for you this time of year.
You know, it is. And, you know, just seeing the notes that people put when they do get the magazine in their hands, and it sort of makes the 6 months that we put into this magazine. I mean, I've got a staff of 15 people. We work 6 months at it, a lot of it on a heavy deadline, especially towards the end. And so it makes it all worthwhile when you get stuff like that on Twitter.
Well, and for those that don't really know the process, I've got to throw this out there also. At the end of this past year's national championship game, I want to say it was maybe 2 or 3 days after you had posted that you were already working on this year's magazine. So, I mean, this isn't something that just stops as soon as the college football season ends. When the season ends, you immediately start working on this magazine.
Yeah, and actually it's a Sunday after Thanksgiving is when we start, because some team season is complete. We can start putting the right-hand pages together. The stats are finalized, and we get rolling on those. And then as team seasons get completed, we continue to roll on, and we write the magazine in a three write-through process, a post-season write-through where we take a look at this past year and then look ahead to next year, a pre-spring write-through. We've had the freshmen into the mix and any late transfers that come either in or out, and then the post-spring write-through, and that's done after I talk to as many coaches as I can. This year I set a record, talked to over 100 of the 130 coaches, and it's about an hour-long conversation. We go over every player on the team. They make sure I got the guys in the right order. But it helps when you pick up my magazine and look at the starting lineup and the two deep and the three deep that we put in there. You can rest assured that that's pretty much the way it stacks up on the team.
And I've got to ask you this also. Having done the SID thing for a while, signing day was obviously a big thing for college football programs all over the country. Now, that, of course, changed at least to some degree this past academic year, with signing day being a little bit earlier. Having said all that, you know, that doesn't take anything away from that first February, that first few days of February, because I think still signing day, there's still something to be said for how big that really is. But that gives you a little bit of extra time to see who. Who's going to commit a little bit earlier? And I guess we could start there. You know, taking a look at these recruiting classes and some of these incoming freshmen who are expected to make immediate impacts, who are some of the names that we should be watching for who could be big-time impact players in their first years on campus?
Yeah, and I tell you, Andy, you hit it right on the head. I've been a big proponent to getting that early signing day done, because it helps the whole magazine process. We get those freshmen logged in, put them on the teams, and get them into place. So it helped the magazine process, getting those guys signed early. And one negative is you take a look at a head coach, like when I talked to Kevin Sumlin of Arizona this year. He mentioned that they basically signed their entire class in the early signing period, and he was hired after that. He was hired in January, so not a single recruit that's on the team this year was recruited by someone. The class was entirely signed prior to him. So things are changing in college football a little bit, but some of the big names you might want to look at. I think Trevor Lawrence, my number one rated quarterback coming out of high school, beats out Bryant for the starting quarterback job at Clemson and ends up the starter there. He's a guy to keep your eye on. The Clemson team is loaded. I expect him to make the playoffs. And I think Trevor Lawrence is a guy that everybody should be watching. A couple other guys to really note. Watch Ricky Slade at Penn State at running back. You know, they lost Saquon Barkley. They've got pretty good running backs there. But I think Slade, with his size, is going to get plenty of action in the Penn State backfield this year, even as a true frosh. And taking a look at receivers, maybe a Terrace Marshall of LSU who signed there. You know, he's got Burrow throwing to him now. may get a little more downfield throwing at LSU this season. He may get some action there. So he'd be a big-time player to watch as well. And then defensively, naturally, Clemson, Alabama signed a bunch of players. How quickly they incorporate into the lineup would be a key. But watch Micah Parsons of Penn State. This guy's huge. He was in for the spring. And while he's not a starter coming out of spring, he may end up one by the end of the year.
We're talking college football with Phil Steele here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. And, Phil, we are an Ohio State affiliate here at AM 930 WEOL, so obviously the Buckeyes dominate a lot of what gets discussed on Saturdays around here. Obviously, they've got a little bit of a quarterback question right now, and I think, like every year, there are always going to be questions because if you lose a lot of guys to the NFL draft at some key spots, you wonder who's going to step in and fill the void. At the skill positions, I certainly think they have enough coming back to get people excited. But if you look at this team on paper, what should we be expecting from the Buckeyes this season?
I think Ohio State's going to do quite well. And, you know, you do look at the fact they do have two tough road games this year. They have to play both Michigan State and Penn State on the road. But keep in mind, last year when they played those two teams, they outgained the two combined by an average by 1,053 yards to 478. That's a 2-1 yardage edge over both teams. The Penn State game, remember, they were in the deep hole due to turnovers and special teams, but actually finished that game with a 529-283-yard edge. So I think they're capable of winning both those games on the road, and that would be huge. Now, as far as the individual breakdown, I think Haskins might even be a step up at the quarterback position, whereas I think he's a better downfield passer, more accurate passer, and he's still a good runner. I like what Haskins is surrounded by as well. Dobbins and Weber, maybe the best running back combo in the country, or duo in the country, I should say. Then you look at the receiving core, Paris Campbell and DeMario McCall working out of the slot. Both should have big seasons this year. Austin Mack, Terry McLaurin, they're loaded receiver. The offensive line loses their star center. In fact, my first team All-American center, Billy Price, but has enough talent coming back where they still remain among my top offensive lines. In fact, I rate them the number 7 O-line in the country. The defensive line lost a lot, and the depth concerns me a little. But this is still one of the top D-lines. In fact, I rate it the second best in the country, led by some guy named Nick Boza, who's one of the, probably could very well be the top pick in the draft. In fact, you know, when I was talking to Gil Brandt, he had said that he expects Boza to be that number one guy coming in for the next year's draft. Linebacking core, probably the biggest question mark. In my mind, it was a question mark last year. They're a little bit better this season, even with the losses, so I think they'll be improved there. And the secondary for Ohio State is always great. I mean, you look at last year, you have a cornerback like Denzel Ward. Didn't start the previous year, comes in, he's an All-American. Then that happens every year with Ohio State. They lose guys in the NFL and replace them with guys that are going to play in the NFL. And maybe the key part here, my number 7 rated special teams. And that's something a lot of folks don't look at necessarily, but I think when you look at Chrisman at the punter and Nuremberger at the kicker, plus some dangerous return men, the Buckeyes are going to be very good there. So add it all up, I've got them favored at all 12 games this year, even with the two tough road games.
You referenced those special teams. I had the opportunity to work with Coach Meyer about 20 years ago, and that was one area he always emphasized was special teams. So you know they're going to find ways to improve there as well. Phil, you had mentioned two teams on that Ohio State schedule, Michigan State, Penn State, two teams that can make things tough for Ohio State when they go on the road. Outside the Buckeyes, who are some other teams in the Big Ten that you expect to contend for that Big Ten championship?
Well, the main four contenders I'll give to Ohio State this year, three of them just happen to be in the same division. And by the way, Andy, it is the best division in college football. There's no doubt about it. And I do shows in SEC country a ton. I make that statement, and I don't get any feedback, you know, any bounce back from it. It pretty much is acknowledged across the country. Michigan is a team that, remember last year how inexperienced they were? They only had 5 returning starters last year. They were number 129 on my experience list. I call them an overrated group because they came in the season ranked way too high, ended up losing 5 games. Well, due to the fact they lost 5 games last year, they're not going to be in the preseason top 10 this year. but talent-wise, they should be. When you look at this squad, they rank in my top units in all eight position categories in the front of the magazine, one of only nine teams to do so. They got my number six rated defensive line, best of the DBs in the country. They go from one returning starter on defense to nine, and they had a pretty good D last year. I think they've got the third best defense in the country this year. Offensively, what was the piece that was missing? Quarterback. And now they bring in Shea Patterson from Ole Miss. I don't think Shea Patterson's going to throw for 4,000 yards, but if he can cut down on the turnovers. Remember, last year's Michigan quarterbacks had nine touchdown passes, and they had 10 interceptions. They also didn't complete a high percentage of passes. I think Shea Patterson, who throws very well on the run, can really improve those numbers, and that makes Michigan dangerous. Now, they do have to play Notre Dame, Northwestern, Michigan State, and Ohio State all on the road, and they've had trouble getting past the boys in Columbus, but Michigan's a legitimate contender. With Penn State, yeah, they lose Saquon Barkley, but I really like Trace McSorley. I've got him rated as a top quarterback, first-team All-American coming into the season, Heisman contender. They got Miles Sanders and Ricky Slade, a running back, some dangerous receivers. Defensively, they only have three starters back, but they reloaded there. Every year I talk to Coach Franklin, they go three deep on the defense, so they're just plugging in new players there. They only play one team on the road that had a winning record last year. That's Michigan. All the other teams had losing records, so they are a threat. If they can knock off Ohio State in Happy Valley, I'm sure it's going to be whiteout conditions, then Penn State becomes the front runner for the East. And finally, Michigan State out of the East, 19 returning starters. Much like Michigan, they were very inexperienced last year at number 128. This year, they're number 13. Much like Penn State, they only play one team that had a winning record on the road this year. That's at Penn State. They get Ohio State at home, they get Michigan at home, and that makes them a threat. And then out of the West, you got to watch the Wisconsin Badgers. Now, I'm a new voter this year on the Joe Moore Award. Very proud of that, because the Joe Moore Award is only accepted offensive line coaches or ex-offensive linemen as voters, and they're letting me in this exclusive group this year, so pretty thrilled about that. I've got the Badgers offensive line rated number one in the country coming into the season. They've got a solid quarterback in Alex Honnebrook. They've got a guy at running back in Jonathan Taylor at almost 2,000 yards as a true frosh. They may have their best receiving core they've had in years. Defensively, they lose a lot. They only have four starters back, but this is Wisconsin. I mean, they had a couple years ago, they had three returning starters, allowed 294 yards per game on the year. They are solid on the defense. Their schedule's tougher than last year. They have to play Iowa on the road in Kinnick. Ohio State fans, remember that game in Kinnick last year? Okay, we'll forget about that. Then you go to at Michigan, and they also play at Northwestern and at Penn State. But I think Wisconsin has the talent to get there.
Phil, one of my favorite parts about picking up your magazine every single year is you always have a couple of different spots in there where I can look and see what teams weren't necessarily in the mix last year that will drastically improve and maybe get into the mix for this season. Who are some of those teams that you see on that radar this year? Teams that weren't necessarily in the title mix last year but could certainly make some noise and get in on that action this year.
Yeah, and every year I produce my surprise team list, which is non-top 10 teams. And I pretty much know what the top 10 is going to be in the AP poll at the start of the year. So these are teams that are not going to be in the AP top 10 that I think can contend for a national title. 2 years ago was Washington. They made the playoffs. This year my number one team is the Notre Dame Fighting Irish. And the Irish last year got off to a great start. Not much was expected. They were coming off a losing season. They were my number one most improved team in the country last year. And they went from a 4-win season to a 10-win season. At one point, getting to 8-1 and ranked number 5 or number 3 in the country. They did drop two games late, but I like their quarterback at Brandon Wimbush. The defense should be the best we've seen at Notre Dame in years. They've got nine returning starters on the defensive side of the ball. And then you plug in their schedule this year. There are no unwinnable games on their schedule. They get Michigan at home. They get Stanford at home. They get Florida State at home. Their road games are against Virginia Tech, which is looks like a rebuilding year for VT. They play Northwestern on the road, USC on the road. And when you got the talent Notre Dame has, you've got the chance to overcome that. The second surprise team list is Texas. And Texas is a team that had high expectations with Tom Herman last year. Large crowd for the opener. They got upset by Maryland. Struggled just to get to a bowl game. Luckily, they won the bowl game, went 7-6, but they've got a solid defense. They will have a run game this year. I talked to Coach Herman, and he was extremely disappointed. The offensive line and the running backs last year, and made it perfectly clear that was not going to be tolerated this year. So a better run game, two experienced quarterbacks, a very good defense. They could very well win the Big 12. And then two other surprise teams, which we talked about already, Michigan State and Michigan. They won't be in the top 10 at the start of the year. I think Penn State and Ohio State will, but those are two teams that can contend for the national title.
It's so odd to hear you mention three of the four teams on that list, because three of the four teams on that list are just perennial powerhouses in the world of college football. Is it odd to you when you look back at it and you see it that way with Notre Dame, Texas, and Michigan on that list?
Yeah, well, you know, you have to look at the fact that you know, you look at Notre Dame, the last 2 years combined, they're 14-11. So, and last year they were not ranked coming into the season. This year they won't be preseason top 10. Texas was a 7-6 team last year. And neither Michigan State, I mean, Michigan was a 5-loss team last season, and Michigan State won't be in the top 10 either.
Very good stuff. Well, Phil, this is one of my favorite times of the year because it gets everybody in the mood for college football when your magazine comes out. And, you know, your magazine's not only available on newsstands, you can download these things to your phone too now.
Yeah, you get it to your phone, you get it to your computer, so you can download it to your computer. If you have Google Play, you can get it on your that phone, or you can get it on your Apple phone as well. And the great thing this year, Andy, is if you, let's say you sign up for it on your computer, you can use the same password on your iPhone, you can use the same password on Google Play. All three are accessible off the same password, so it's a tremendous thing. You can carry it wherever you go, and then your pages don't get as dog-eared. I'm sure yours do, right, Andy, when you're carrying around the magazine all football season?
Oh, by the time I get to the start of the season, yeah, absolutely, absolutely. So it's nice to have that digital copy, no doubt about that. Well, Phil, I know you're slammed. I know you're really, really busy this week, and we certainly appreciate the time. One of our favorite times of the year when the magazine comes out, gets everybody excited for the college football season. Phil, thank you so much for your time.
Hey, Andy, always enjoy talking football with you, my friend.
Absolutely, partner. Thank you as well. We appreciate the time very much. That's Phil Steele. We're talking college football with him. The season's not that far away. If you call yourself a college football fan, you better make sure you get your mitts on that 2018 Phil Steele College Football Preview, because it's got absolutely everything in there that you need to get you ready for the season. Let's step aside and take a break here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. Matt Douglas and I return right after this on AM 930 WEOL.